from Lab Occupier. This is the NGBI Lab, a podcast about startups in Canadian life sciences. Hi, I'm your host, Jim Wilson, and our guest today is Courtney Cole, who is the Business Development Manager with the Office of the Vice President, Research and Innovation at York University in Toronto, Ontario. We invited Courtney to join us on the show today because the story of the company he founded, For a Healthy Me, shows that some startups hit a roadblock even when they do everything right. Before we get to our conversation, we'd like to thank the Hamilton Health Sciences Foundation, the TMX Group, and Ellis Dawn for their support. This episode of NGBI Lab was recorded in February 2024. Courtney Cole, thanks so much for joining us. We think you're working on one of the next great big ideas in Canadian life sciences, and I look forward to speaking with you about it.
Oh, Jim, thanks so much. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
So let's just jump in. Who is your company?
Well, the company that I founded was For a Healthy Me, Inc. And you'd notice I say was because, and I'll explain sort of the concept and context around that. We developed a suite of application specifically around remote care for patients with musculoskeletal care and issues around cardiology and stroke rehab. So looking at that discharge aspect of care, the patient's being transitioned to home, how do you keep the patient out of the hospital? How do you optimize care? How do you keep them engaged? So we developed a suite of technology solutions, an enterprise level platform solution, leveraging AI, machine learning, gaming technology that allowed a hospital to deliver care remotely to patients across those treatment areas that I mentioned.
That is so cool. And who was on your team?
So my team consisted of kinesiologists, clinical researchers, game developers, mobile app developers, designers with expertise in machine learning and AI, and also, like I mentioned, game developers. So critical part of that capability was using gaming technology in an innovative way to guide patients on how they do their rehab protocol. So almost like using a virtual avatar to coach the patient to follow specific protocols, because sometimes a patient would forget what they're supposed to do. Compliance is pretty low. So that was a problem that we were solving. So we essentially assembled a team of interesting and smart people who were looking to work on breakthrough ideas.
And where did the idea originally come from?
So I founded the company in 2012. I was working with J&J at the time. But prior to that, I'd worked for Advanced Micro Devices and worked on a lot of technology software applications to sort of facilitate connectivity between our teams in different parts of the world. So India, Finland, across the US and Europe. So we were using a lot of technology that people take for granted today around knowledge sharing and communication and file management. So I took that idea, layered on top of that some of the medical concerns and challenges that patients were facing in our health system. And I'd met a number of patients when I was working at J&J with severe chronic and acute care issues. And they would talk about the challenges they had just accessing care, understanding what was happening to them, sometimes having difficulty getting to the hospital. So that sort of laid the foundation for some of the work that we initially did with York University, with St. Michael's Hospital in peripheral arterial disease and chronic kidney disease. And there was a point I was sort of looking to engage with partners in the US, and I was part of the Canadian Technology Accelerator Program in Philadelphia. And one of the meetings I had was with the CEO of a hospital called McGee Rehab. It no longer exists. It was acquired by Jefferson. And he said, you know, the stuff you're doing is really great, and I think it would be beneficial to our patients. But the bigger problem we have is patient compliance. Sometimes they're discharged, we see them, they come in for their rehab, and then there's no follow-through. We have no idea what's happening to this patient at home. Are they doing their rehab? Are they following specific protocol? Because sometimes they actually come in worse than when we saw them last time. And that kind of stuck with me. So, you know, he said, I wish someone could come up with a piece of technology that would allow us to engage with our patients there at home and able to guide them on their rehab protocols and that we could get results. And I thought, that's interesting. So we had already built some aspects of it, the software side of the platform that would allow us to communicate, do virtual calls, messaging, deliver patient education. And so that became the next big challenge of, you know, how do we solve that problem? Where is the technology going to come from? Does it even exist? And how are we going to do that? So that was the genesis of the idea. So I came back to Toronto and it just stuck with me. This was a problem that needed to be solved.
We're going to take a quick moment here to explain that this podcast is part of Next Great Big Ideas, Canada's Life Sciences Summit. This summit is a one-day speakers event taking place at the Hamilton Convention Center this year, 2024, on November 12th. NGBI is a national networking event for members of Canada's life sciences community, and we hope you can join us. For details, please go to nextgreatbigideas.com. And that was in 2012?
This was in 2016. 2012, 2013 was research with York University to basically validate the hypothesis that we had, that we could actually use web-based or virtual technology to manage patients around chronic kidney disease and peripheral arterial disease. And by today's standard, it was pretty basic. It would be considered pretty basic. But back then, we were doing breakthrough research. Then we published a couple of research papers around how we could, you know, capture biometric data, how providers could connect with patients and manage so many aspects of their care. Patients don't want to be reminded that they're sick. They're just things that they don't want to have to go through on a daily basis. So our approach was, how do you use technology to lighten that burden that they face, whether, you know, it's psychological and also physiological. So we took that initial work that we had done, that clinical work on, built a product, we were deploying it. So we deployed with South Lake, we deployed with Markham Stouffville's, because I'm in York region. So those are hospitals right. That I worked with. And that sort of gave us some early customers, some early revenue. And when you're in that space, you're constantly innovating. You're constantly looking for, okay, what's the next big idea? What's the next big initiative that you can push forward? Because when you're, as an entrepreneur, when you're an innovator, you can't sit still. You can't just sit on your hands and say, okay, you know, we've done this. Look how wonderful it is. You know, we've got some early customers. And I'd started to push into the pharmaceutical space because I realized that hospitals got limited budget, not a lot of money to spend, and they can be difficult to work with. So I ended up, you know, taking on Bayer as a customer. I took on Janssen Pharmaceutical as a customer and basically sort of repurposed that, the technology, to allow for medical education. And so that sort of kept us going. But so 2016, when I got accepted into the CTA program in Philadelphia, and the purpose of that through the Canadian Trade Commissioner Service was to bring Canadian companies to the U.S. to find partners, to find customers. And so the Americans were willing to try, willing to give guidance and so forth. And so the idea for that application came about around 2015, 2016. But to just step back a little bit, 2015, we were one of the recipients, we meaning the company and York University, were one of the recipients of what was then a new grant program through the Canadian Institutes for Health Research. And there were two streams, mental health, youth mental health, but also solutions to deal with an aging population. The team at York wanted to focus on youth mental health because some recent research from York had indicated that 52% of students were, you know, suffering from anxiety, stress, depression, and obviously the economic impact if these students don't graduate, if they're failing, and then the long-term cost to the health system if these students weren't receiving the care early. Even though York had, you know, sort of a brick and mortars facility for students weren't going in. They were ashamed. They were afraid. They weren't sure of what they were going to get in. So we developed this virtual clinic that really focused on mental health for students. And we ran a clinical trial over 3 years, and the results were really great. And again, I'm sharing that because that sort of tells a story of how we got some funding. Okay.
Right.
So that was $1 million that was spread between ourselves, North York General, researchers at York, and Schulich School of Business. So we had brought together a group of researchers to help develop the product, to help guide it. So I worked with three of the best researchers of the Faculty of Health at York.
Some of the best in the country.
Yeah. We built the virtual clinic that we recruited. I think we had over the period, maybe 300 students sort of go through. And at the end of it, we published maybe four research papers. In 2019 and 2020, the Journal of Medical Internet Research around mental health. And so when COVID came around, we thought, okay, great. You know, we've got a great product. We've got clinically validated solution that's been tested. This should be easily adopted.
The right team members, everything going in the right direction.
Yeah, that's a story for another podcast. And the point of it, however, is that even when we develop innovative Canadian technology solutions, the path to commercialization is extraordinarily difficult. We were funded by the federal government, and you would have thought that the adoption during the pandemic would have been but it didn't happen that way.
So you were hit with the pandemic, as everyone in the world was, and this had a significant adverse effect on your company, didn't it? What happened?
So that product that I mentioned, the remote rehab solution, between 2017 to 2020, we got support from Microsoft. I somehow managed to get connected to their CMO, the chief medical officer, who was based in Seattle at the time. And I pitched the idea. He said, I really like what you're trying to do. He said, a lot of people use our technology further downstream, but you're looking to do something with our technology that it wasn't intended to do. And you're trying to move the treatment of the patient further upstream. So it was great. So they said, okay, we'll give you some funding. We'll give you some resources. I ended up working with a team in France and one in Italy. And they helped build that first prototype for us. And I'd hired a team, game developers, to help with the application. And so we completed the first variation. Oh, and we also got funding through FedDev and IRAP. Okay, so funding through those channels aren't easy to come by. So, you know, we had a clear value proposition. There was innovative technology. I was hiring, I was building a team. And so we built the first product. We worked with York University, the faculty there, and to run our first trial at the neuromechanics lab. And the results were great. We did a comparative study against sort of the gold standard in the sector, which is Vicon, which is a multi-camera system using infrared depth sensing technology that tracks the body accurately. So it's used in movies, it's used in gaming, it's used in sports. But our system was a single camera. Okay, and we'd be able to accurately not only prescribe protocol, but then accurately track joints and angles on the body, generate telemetry data, and be able to send that back to a physiotherapist. That was the concept. That was the idea.
Wow.
So the team worked hard, and we worked night and day, worked through the bugs. The researchers were just amazing. And after about 8 or 9 weeks, they came back and said, okay, we're here to present the results. And I was like, completely in panic, because you never know which way these things are going to go. And being researchers, we had to go through a medical ethics review because we were recruiting individual students and other participants, which were going to be testing this equipment. So pretty rigorous. And so I was worried, naturally, because we had spent the last 2.5 years developing a product that may or may not work, that may or may not give us the results.
The goal of this show is to shine a light on startups and founders who are working on the next generation of innovation in Canadian life sciences. If you're a founder of a cool startup, we would love to help make more people aware of what it is you're doing. Now, your company has to be based somewhere between Vancouver Island and the Avalon Peninsula, and of course, focused on some aspect of the life sciences sector. So if you're interested in being a guest on the NGBI Lab, please contact us. My email address will be at the end of the show, and you can also find it at laboccupier.com. Thanks for listening. Let's get back to today's conversation. So you had the right team in place. You had the financing in place. You had the connections in place. COVID hit and...
Products built, completed that first trial, and then we took the results from that trial and said, okay, let's move it into phase two. A lot of enhancements, capabilities, and then we partnered with McMaster University, the Physical Activity Center of Excellence, Dr. Stuart Phillips, who their group sort of works with elderly patients, you know, post-op, stroke, cardiology, so forth. So we designed another study, applied to NSERC funding, got that funding. And so we tested the solution with elderly patients to gauge, would they like it? How would they respond? How would it be used? Turns out that trial was also pretty successful. 60% of those individuals liked the product. They liked the ability that they could do their rehab remotely. They could connect with their care providers remotely. They could track some certain health results. One patient found it intimidating because it's new technology and they're elderly people. But for the most part, they liked it. They thought, okay, great. If I could do this when it's snowing and I don't need to travel 10 miles to my hospital, amazing. So we got that report February 2020, and I had been laying the foundation for our go-to-market strategy. 2018, I'd gone to the Netherlands to work with a clinician at Radboud University Medical Center. He was into what we call prehabilitation, getting patients prepped for surgery, helping them to understand the post-op rehab protocols that they would need to follow. And all the research, which wasn't ours, but all the research had demonstrated that if patients had been sort of educated and had been engaged in the rehab protocols pre-surgery, they had better outcomes post-surgery. So again, that was another approach that we took in terms of their input was how we designed the solution that would allow clinicians to be able to use it very effectively. And so we were ready to go. And then COVID hit.
And what happened to the company?
We pretty much lost all of 2020 because we had a couple of clients lined up. We had London Health Sciences. We were running with Spinal Cord Injury Ontario. CAMH was using one of our products for youth mental health around psychosis because the beauty of the solution that we had built, based on all the research work that we had done, what I'd done was to look at not just a single episode in that patient's care. That patients are complex. They've got both mental, psychological issues. They've got physiological issues. And so our approach was if we could design a solution that would allow hospitals or different members of the care team, okay, whether it's a dietitian, the nutritionist, the physiotherapist, occupational therapist, the surgical team, the nurse educator, to engage and manage different aspects of that patient's care through a single platform, then the data that we would generate, okay, would be extremely valuable, would help drive intelligent decision and care plans going forward. So when I talk about mental health, when I talk about the physiological needs of the patients, when I talk about biometric data, when I talk about patient education, all of these we sort of packaged into the solution. And that knowledge came about because of all the initial work that we had done, whether it was with York University, whether it was with Radboud, whether it was with McMaster, et cetera, or the hospital in the US, or spinal cord injury. And so, but 2020 crippled us. Even though we were getting calls, because everyone was looking for a virtual care solution, ours wasn't just an app that you downloaded and used. It's an enterprise level solution. Okay, like patients had to be onboarded, physician needed to be trained, teams needed to be trained, and everyone was sort of pivoting to Teams or Zoom or so forth, because that's what the market needed. And so we sort of had to step back. I mean, unless we had a vaccine or a respirator, nobody wanted to talk to us.
So the company today is where?
I had to sadly wind things down. We went into, in 2020, we integrated into Point Click Care, thinking that we could move into the senior care market. And, you know, that 2021 would be a very, very different year. Unfortunately, we had Delta and Omicron. I mean, it wasn't until 2022 that we started to see some light at the end of the tunnel. All was great about 2021 was we were able to run trials in Hong Kong because I was looking to pivot. My vision was to build a global business. Okay, because, you know, patient needs are patient needs. We could customize a solution in different markets. We ran two trials in Hong Kong. Both were successful. And my vision was I'd be able to sort of use Hong Kong as a launch pad to enter the Asia market. And we had a lot of support from Invest Hong Kong, from the Hong Kong Science and Technology Park, who they wanted us to move there. Also ran another trial in the Netherlands. And out of all of this, what it taught us was the ability to then customize the solution. So we worked on developing the solution to deliver multiple languages. We started working with integrating into Cerner. So 2020, 2021 was really around just sort of refocusing, realigning the product to get ready to go to market. But sadly, at the end of 21, we literally ran out of money and tried to raise capital, but it just, investors were sort of pulling back and there was just a lot of fear in the market around inflation, high interest rates, and so forth. So we ended up just mothballing the solution. The code is there, the IP is there. I had to lay off the team, sadly, which was extraordinarily painful thing to do, guys who had worked with you for so long. And so, yeah, this is kind of where we are.
We hope you're enjoying today's show, and we will greatly appreciate you telling your friends about us. Please promote us on social with the hashtags NGBI Lab, NGBI Ideas, NGBI Summit, and NGBI. Thanks so much for your help, and thanks so much for listening. So it's been mothballed. It hasn't been buried. And if there's a listener to this podcast who thinks, as I am at the moment, wow, what a cool idea. I want to get in touch with this guy and see if we can rekindle this project. You're open to that.
Yeah, absolutely. The need hasn't gone away. In fact, I would say it's probably been more compounded. The market, you know, when we started looking at this, the rehab post-op care market was maybe 15, 20 billion. Now it's like 44 billion. Okay. I mean, we've got an aging population in Canada. The last report I read from the Canadian Physiotherapy Association was that we had maybe 6 or 7 million elderly people in that elderly care space who would need rehab. And given the size of our country, where we could actually deliver care. We know there's a shortage of physiotherapists. We know there's a shortage of occupational therapists and, you know, and healthcare providers in general. What would be amazing if, and this was the vision, we could have a centralized location whereby we would eventually hire a team of care providers, maybe license a solution to the Ministry of Health. And through our providers or through their providers, they could reach patients in Northern Ontario, in different parts of the province, or even, you know, different parts where patients don't have access to physiotherapists. They don't have and so these patients could do their rehab, receive consults at home. We could do medication reconciliation. We could do blood pressure monitoring. And this data would then come back into the system. Providers could then assess, make adjust patients' treatment plans, change their rehab protocols just based on the data that was coming back in. And you could do a lot of this stuff virtually.
Wow. So you did everything right. You had the right team. You had the right clinical trials that show very positive results. And you had a huge curveball thrown at you that no one could have foreseen. And one of the goals of this podcast is to demonstrate that, you know, even if you do everything right, sometimes it doesn't work out.
And it's always been the case with us. You know, I started to think I was going to go in one direction and ended up going in a completely different direction. And I've always sort of tried to not follow the crowd, because you can't be too innovative if you're basically doing what everybody else is doing. But even then, you know, as you're innovating, you're developing, you're building partnerships, we were looking into, you know, working with partners in different countries, there are still things that are just completely beyond your control. And so, you know, there's hard work. You got to do that. Otherwise, no one's going to open a door for you. You won't get those meetings. But then you still need a bit of luck. Some of that, I believe, comes from having the right network, right? To be able to convince friends and investors to give you money. We were successful to some degree in that. I mean, like I mentioned, the first grant we got was from the Ontario Centers of Innovation. And that initial proposal was rejected, because partly because I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I still don't know what I'm doing. But Belinda Ray, who was the manager at the time, came back and said, okay, I think you've got something here. You just need to use the right wording. So we changed it. The application was successful. We worked with York University. We got that funding through York. I went on to get that CIHR grant. We got the Health Technology Fund, OCI. We were one of the first recipients with Spinal Cord Injury Ontario and Toronto Rehab and UofT to get that funding to develop a solution to support patients with spinal cord injury. Well, the core of it, Jim, was enabling remote care. Even though we were looking at different disease states, whether it was mental health or spinal cord injury or rehab, the core underlying element of it was using technology to enable care.
What a forward-thinking idea. Good for you. So, Courtney, what do you do now?
I work with York University. I joined the Division of Research and Innovation. So I work primarily on issues related to IP, intellectual property, working with researchers and faculty from LaSalle School of Engineering across a range of areas. So EV, medical devices, but I also work with faculty of health around, because that's an area I love. That's my background. So, and Jim, I know you're well aware of this. When it comes to intellectual property, patents, Canada ranks pretty low. There are some schools in Canada that are ranked really highly. So Waterloo, I think UBC, McGill, definitely U of T. But still, when you compare the Canadian output to the US or China, we're way, and a big part of that is because where there's a lack of education, you know, lack of commercial success for Canadian companies, because generally in the health tech space, they tend to move overseas. And when you look at a space like, well, whether it's med tech, whether it's biopharma or even EV, we're way down at the bottom. So the countries that are advanced economically, you'll see that there's a significant focus on IP. patents, trademarks, etc., because that is what is going to drive economic growth, because we're in a completely different area. So my focus is working with faculty to raise awareness around IP, help them to understand what they need to be considering when they're doing their research. And then we also work with Osgoode Law School, the IP Innovation Clinic, to help these researchers through that process of prior art search, understanding their technology, how it is stack up, and then also some patent filing. So our work is funded through IP Ontario, which is a new arm of the Ontario government. Yeah, so that's what I currently do.
Thank you for outlining that. I appreciate it, because you and your team up at York University are a wonderful resource. And I appreciate you joining us today to talk about your journey and explaining all of the assets that are available at York University. And I hope that people reach out to you. And I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a real treat.
Well, thank you so much, Jim, for having me. It's an absolute pleasure. I loved what I did, advancing technology, innovation in different areas and sort of tapping into some breakthrough technologies to help address some complex health issues. Like, as an entrepreneur, as an innovator, you couldn't possibly ask for more. And the ability to then go into different markets, whether it's Asia, it's Europe, and in the US, and have people say, wow, they love working with Canadians. They understand the value that we bring, the knowledge and the innovation. But again, you know, comes back down to risk capital and risk appetite and the ability to stay the course when it comes to the life sciences sector. That, more than anything else, is where we need that shift to help a lot of the ideas, a lot of the companies that are sort of percolating to take off.
Yeah, well, we're getting closer to that goal, and it's because of people like you. So thank you so much for your efforts and your time today.
Thank you so much, Jim. Have a great day.
Thanks. That was Courtney Cole, who is Business Development Manager with the Office of the Vice President, Research and Innovation at York University in Toronto, Ontario. You can follow us on social at NGBI Lab, at NGBI Ideas, and at NGBI. If you'd like to learn about our day job team, please go to laboccupier.com, and you can follow that team on social at laboccupier. By the way, we would greatly appreciate hearing from you. Email is best, and my address is jwilson@leonard, that's LENNARD.com. Thanks so much for listening. See you next week.